Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
While the coronavirus pandemic has forced schools across the country to close their doors, many childcare centers have remained open. YMCAs nationwide took care of roughly 40,000 children between March and June, that's according to NPR. And in New Rochelle, New York, a 24-hour childcare center named D's Tots has taken in the children of essential workers throughout the pandemic. Dolores Hogan, known as Nunu by those close to her, has owned and operated the center with her husband Patrick for more than two decades.
I always loved children ever since I was 7 years old. I used to take care of my nieces and nephews down south when I was a little girl. And then when I came to New York, I had a girlfriend. She got into an accident and her boyfriend asked, will I watch her son while she was in the hospital? It was a really bad accident. And of course I would. And I took care of him day and night until she came home from the hospital. She was in the hospital for about a month. Then she came after she came home from the hospital, actually gave me like $1,500. And I was actually doing it just to be doing it because I was worried about her. And she gave me $1,500 and asked me, will I start taking care of her son? And it took off from there.
In 2016, director Loira Limbaugh started filming Nunu and her center with the goal of highlighting the essential caregiving that frequently goes undervalued. Loira's documentary about Nunu Through the Night is set to have its television premiere next year on PBS. I spoke with Loira and Nunu to learn more about the film D's Tots, and Nunu started by telling me how D's Tots became one of the few 24-hour childcare centers in the country.
Kids would just come and just spend the night at my house. Sometimes the parents would come and pick them up, and they go, I don't want to go home. I want to stay here with Dolores. They called me Dolores at the time. I didn't want to hear them cry, so I just told the parents, let them stay. I'll keep them and, you know, come and get them tomorrow or something like that. And it just took off from there.
And are they women of color mostly?
Women of color. Spanish and black women, yes.
Mm-hmm. Loira, how did you hear about Nunu and her work? And what made you want to do this film about this?
So I actually first heard of Nunu's daycare center via an article that I read. It immediately made me think about my own childhood and my mother, because my mother, I'm the oldest of four. My mother raised us as a single mother. She worked as a home health aide and she worked the night shift. And as the oldest child, I was sort of her right hand. And, you know, we kind of joked that I was her co-parent. Being in that position, it gave me at a really young age a real clear view into the difficult decisions that she had to make, you know, on a day-to-day basis around our care. These stories are so common in communities of color. I'm from the Bronx. I grew up in the South Bronx, so I grew up in Black and Latinx communities. And these stories are so common, but they're really invisible.
Why is it so uncommon to hear these stories?
Well, I think, you know, in the U.S., when we have conversations about labor and class, we still largely talk about them in terms of the experiences of white working men. You know, so we hear a lot about, like, the plants, you know, in the Midwest, the manufacturing, you know, industry, or, like, you know, I feel like I even hear more about the experiences of folks, you know, that worked in like coal mining and the, you know, the ways that their industries have been devastated, you know, over the years, than I do about the experiences of the women in my community. And I think that is due to race and class and gender and the kind of the intersection, you know, it's like the perfect storm. In general, we don't do really well in terms of representing the stories of women in complex ways, but certainly not, you know, poorer folks or working class women of color. So I think the bodies that we inhabit, you know, and the kind of larger forces that play in our society create this perfect storm that allows for us to be erased and for our experiences to be erased.
Nunu, you're talking about, you know, folks that are saying, yeah, I'll just, you know, leave my kid with you and let them stay overnight. And honestly, as a parent, that's not an easy thing to do, even though I am myself a Latina and a single parent. I would imagine that they feel so comfortable with you, Nunu, because your relationship goes beyond, you know, just caring for the child. I mean, you have a lot of deeper relationships with these women mostly, right?
Yes, I do. And I actually care for the parents too, watching them come in from work late, not being able to cook dinner, because I already cooked dinner and fed the kids and gave them baths and combed their hair, whatever needs to be done, just so it could be a little easier for them, helping them with their homework. And when they come in, they're exhausted. They just sit down in a chair and it probably take about 15, 20 minutes just to get up because they're so exhausted from working. So, you know, I'm an old country woman. I'm from Mississippi and I'm used to, you know, family people coming in and we have big pots of food on the stove for anybody that walk in the door to eat. We used to doing stuff like that. So when they come in, I either have a plate wrapped up for them to take home so they can take a bath and fall in their bed and go to sleep, or, you know, just let them sit there and eat and let them talk about their day. Because you never know what a person experienced throughout the day, and you never know what's going on through their mind throughout the day. So they need to be able to sit down and talk to someone. So this is something that we just established being family. And the first thing I tell my parents, even when they come in the door now, my new parents, this is a family. This is a family first. This is not just daycare. I'm not just a daycare provider. I am your aunt, I'm your mother, I'm your grandmother, I'm your cousin, I'm your therapist, I'm whatever you need me to be. And that's what I try to be to my families. And my mothers love me just like I love them.
Loida, was that part of what drew you to these stories as well, the work that Nunu and her husband are doing for these families that really goes beyond just providing, and not saying just, I say just with big air quotes, childcare, because that in and of itself is a huge thing. But when you talk about, again, as somebody who is in this position myself, I can't imagine coming home and having a plate of food ready for me. That would be amazing. Or, I mean, I haven't left the home, but you know what I mean, because we're in the pandemic. But having somebody provide that emotional support that Nunu and her husband are doing. Was that part of what was attractive to you as well?
Certainly. I mean, for me, I was really clear that I once wanted to shine a light on the socioeconomic, you know, forces at play that are really unjust and unsustainable, in my opinion, and need to change. I wanted to do that, but I also wanted to lift up and sort of celebrate and just make visible even to ourselves the many ways in which we do take care of each other and we love each other despite, you know, everything that we're up against in this country. That there are these ways in which this country sort of still very much centers the nuclear family as kind of the ideal or the only respectable model of, you know, family, and which then I think creates a lot of stigma that single mothers and single mothers of color experience. And in this community that Nunu and Patrick, her partner and husband, have created, it's like this completely alternate model of family. And it's an opportunity, I hope, through the film to have us all reconsider these ideas that we've been, you know, handed down as the only respectable or the only valid ways of us, you know, relating to each other. And, you know, to sort of see, I think that they redefine family. And I think in a moment like the one that we're in this country where we're reconsidering everything, right? Or confronting, right? Or reckoning perhaps with all these root problems and the root causes of these endemic social issues, I feel like the community that Nunu and Pop Pop have created is a real model for us, you know, and one for us to support with resources and also to sort of say, like, these are our actual leaders, like the people that are providing the care, that are filling the gaps, that are providing the social safety net that the government is not. These are the folks, they're the experts. So like, let's resource them, let's have faith in them, and let's follow their lead, you know? And that was something that, that I really wanted to lift up, that those relationships of interdependence. I mean, in some ways, what I witnessed in that community was, you know, Nunu takes care of the moms, but the moms also take care of Nunu, and the children are taking care of Pop-Pop, and Pop-Pop is taking care of the children. And, you know, there's just so much interdependence, again, that kind of blows the nuclear family model outside of the box, you know, like there's so much more and there's so many other possibilities.
It's interesting that you use that word interdependence, because the philosophy here in the United States is often independence, right? You should be right. able to handle all of these things by yourself or within the quote unquote nuclear family model. And increasingly that model just doesn't exist for people, whether through choice or through circumstance, right? And so I think that word is very key. Nunu, no surprise here. We are in months into the coronavirus global pandemic. It has disproportionately affected Black and Latino communities. How has your center stayed open in recent months? And if so, how is it going?
Well, I never closed down. And in the beginning, it was really bad because we lost so many children. But I was still here for the essential mothers. You know, the ones that work in the stores, my nurses, my COs and different stuff like that. And they're overnight workers. So I've definitely stayed open for them. And we just kept everything. I always kept things clean before this even happened. We always washed our hands. And when the kids came in, washed their hands and face and different things. The only difference was I didn't take temperatures. But now we're on top of that like crazy. So I have more mothers coming in now, even now, because a lot of essential workers are being called back into work. So I'm getting a few more mothers in and everything, but all my private parents, they left and they're home with their children. But we stay in contact with each other. They call me every day and I call them. We're on Facebook, looking at pictures and talking to each other, looking at the kids and saying things and what they're doing at home and what we're doing here. I send pictures to them of the kids that's here. They all wish they was here. I wish they was with me. You know, we miss each other. But definitely stayed open, never closed, lost a lot. But it's not my loss. It's what I want to give and what I want to be able to help people with. This is hard. This sickness, it hit everybody really hard. I even go to different centers and find food for some of my parents and make sure that they have food to eat at home and different stuff. This is a hard hitting thing where they're not getting really anything in, because if they're working, they're still working their low paying jobs. They're not, you know, on unemployment. And sometimes their jobs only got them working 4 days. And if you're working 4 days, and you're not going to get any unemployment. If you're working 3 days, you get an unemployment. But if you're working 4 days, you're not going to get an unemployment. But the job, if you tell the jobs, oh, I only want to work 3 days, then you'll get fired. So you have to come in the way they tell you to come in. And they're not making a lot of money. So whatever they don't make, me and my husband try to go out and help them, you know, with food in the house. If we can give a little bit to help them with their light bill or something like that, we try to do stuff like that because we know our mothers, and in return, whatever we give, they give 100 times fold. And I don't want anything to happen to them. I don't want them to get to the point that they get so upset that they give up. And I, you know, that's why we're here. And I thank God for my husband, because he keep me, you know, grounded. You know, anytime I feel like I want to break down and cry or anything like that, he comes right behind me, pat me on my shoulder, give me a hug and let me know, Dolores, listen, you're not here by yourself. We're here together. And whatever it is that you need or whatever you need me to do, I'm here to do. I thank God for him.
Loida, from your work here and working with Nunu, what do you think is the first thing that needs to happen, whether it's at the public or private or what have you, to address this child care crisis? We've only got about 2 minutes left.
Sure. I think that there needs to be a really concerted political effort, social effort, and also a cultural effort. And what I mean around cultural effort is we need to now, like yesterday, shift the narratives that we have around work and families and care ultimately in this country. There's a quote that Ai-Jen Poo, who's a pretty high profile activist, frequently shares that I believe is in a Rosalind Carter quote that says something along the lines of like, there are only four type of people in the world. Those that need care, those that will need care, those that have needed care or, will give care. Basically, we all need care, right? Whether it's child care or elder care or sick care. This is a universal need. And as a society, we need to take responsibility for that. This film, Through the Night, is very much a celebration of Nuno Patrick and their work, but it is not intended to be a way for us to let ourselves off the hook collectively. They're amazing, no doubt, but it is also unfair and unconscionable that we ask individual people to shoulder a responsibility that really should be a social responsibility. And so I think we need to shift the narratives, we need to shift the stories that we tell about, who these issues impact and why they matter. We've had very incomplete national conversations around these issues. So I think it starts there. It's like a kind of, we need to feed our imaginations and reimagine this conversation so that we can then take the concrete actions, both, politically and socially that need to be taken so that we stop asking working families to walk this tightrope and make impossible decisions every day.
Loida Limbaul is the director of a documentary about Dee's Tots called Through the Night. And Dolores Nunu Hogan owns and operates Dee's Tots. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.